Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. The death of Rock and Roll Hall of Famer and Woodstock resident Levon Helm has hit hard in our region, where many residents counted themselves fans of the band and Helm's later Midnight Rambles. The distinctive multi-instrumentalist was best known as a member of the band, which backed an electrified Dylan before recording some of rock's most influential albums, including music from Big Pink. Helm was known for a rootsy voice that stuck out in the band's tight harmonies. After the last waltz in 1976, he went on a solo career, toured with a reunited version of the band, and worked as an actor. In recent years, during various battles with cancer, his albums Dirt Farmer and Electric Dirt showed a musician vital into his 70s. Helm died of cancer at 71 on Thursday. Rock journalist Stephen Davis collaborated with Helm on his memoir, This Wheel's on Fire, and he joins us this morning. Stephen Davis, welcome back to the Roundtable. Wish it was in happier times.
Yeah, thanks, Ian. Nice to be with you, and it's certainly a sad day for America, I think.
How did you take this news?
Well, I heard about it a couple of days ago when on Levon's website it said that he was in the final stages of his decade-long battle with cancer. It started in his vocal cords, actually, I think, in his jaw about 10 years ago, and they fought it back, and he came back and was even able to have a singing career. Again, I live in near Boston, and he played just down the road from me last year. So I was a little shocked to hear that his condition had failed so quickly. And you know, I mean, Levon was more than a human being. He was like a very spark of you know, America. It's even hard to describe. You know, I think one of the things that he was most proud of, was that his father was a dirt farmer in Arkansas near Helena, a place called Turkey Scratch, and Levon actually grew up, growing on a farm that grew cotton and rice, and he lived the lyrics of all of these songs that most of his generation, you know, who grew up in the suburbs or cities, whatever, you know, just could dream about. And the authenticity of him was just so incredible, and also the humanity. Lovely people I've ever met. I mean, he had a reputation as a you know, an SOB and a bit of a brawler, someone who wouldn't take anything from anybody. But you know, the true Levon Helm was one of the sweetest and kindest and funniest people that I've ever met.
Were you surprised, as I was, to read that Robbie Robertson went to visit him on his deathbed?
I was surprised mostly to hear that Levon let Robbie Robertson in the room, because you know, they had a long, long feud. Wouldn't even call it a feud. I just think that Levon didn't think that Robbie treated the other guys in the band with the respect that they needed, and also that he took too much credit for writing those songs. I mean, I was playing music from Big Pink yesterday, and the successor, the one called the Brown Album, called The Band, and you know, Robbie's name is on these songs that you know are very collaborative efforts. Anyone who knows the band's music knows that Robbie Robertson didn't write the organ parts of, you know, songs that Garth Hudson obviously played on. And I you know, so I to think that Levon let Robbie Robertson in the room even was, you know, indicates that his, you know, Christian church upbringing of forgiveness and redemption, you know, worked for him in the end.
When you were working on the book together, how was he to deal with? How'd you like him?
Well, you know, we started this book in 1991, I think, and as soon as we started, he was in Woodstock, and I borrowed a friend's house in Bearsville, and we started to tape, conversations that would later turn into this book, and right away his house burned down. And so which I'm told is fairly typical of what happens to, you know, band members of that particular group, the band. You know, things that they were always going through scrapes, whether it was car accidents or broken bones or houses burning down. Anyway, right away his house burned down, so that was an issue from day one, and he moved into another house while his house was being rebuilt. And then he took me down to Arkansas for the Hell in the Blues Festival, and I got to spend a couple days with him on a big tour bus, and then driving around, we borrowed someone's car, and we drove around all his childhood haunts in places like Elaine, Arkansas, and Marvel, Arkansas, where he went to high school, and the back streets of Helena, where the band hung out with Sonny Boy Williamson, the great blues legend, and up into the graveyard of the Confederate Cemetery in Helena, where my own great-grandfather got his heels shot off, by the way. So Levon and I had kind of a southern communication, because my own grandfather was a Confederate soldier, and as was his. And then we just kept working and working on this book, and then he started to write stuff himself. I'd get handwritten manuscripts in the mail about talking about being a boy and going through living in Tornado Alley and having to go down to these cellars as the winds, you know, went up overhead, and this evolved into this narrative of this book called This Wheel's on Fire, which is mostly him talking, but also him writing a little bit. He wrote many of the most crucial scenes in that book, and I've written, Ian, about maybe 16, 17 books about musicians and music and stuff, and I have to say that this is one of them. This book called This Wheel's on Fire, this collaboration with Levon, is certainly one of the ones I'm proudest of, because it really, really spoke to who he was and to who his roots were, and to his negative feelings for people and to his positive feelings for people. And it's just a great read. Even I'm impressed when I go back and look at it.
You know, it's interesting, too, that he's had such a resurgence in the last decade or so that maybe there needs to be a new version. Of course, now we've lost him this week.
Well, there's a whole other book that could be written about what happened after he found out that he had cancer the first time. He went down to New York for treatment, and they fought it back. He went into either his second, third, or fourth bankruptcy at this point, and the judge told him that he was going to, you know, lose the farm unless he, you know, went back to work. And so he formed a band with Larry Campbell, who used to play with Bob Dylan, and most crucially, his daughter, Amy Helm, who was the one who had driven him back and forth for cancer treatment 10 years ago and really kind of saved his life. And they put together this really spectacular kind of Americana roots band and went out on the road and started playing. And then, as you know, he converted the recording studio into his barn when it was finally rebuilt into a kind of an entertainment center. And they had these shows called The Midnight Ramble, which was named after the kind of sketchy, sexy part of the old state fairs and carnivals that he attended as a boy. And they would have, you know, local musicians from the Woodstock and Catskills area come in. You might see Emmylou Harris there or Dr. John on any given night. And it was this sort of spectacular career rebirth where he didn't really have to leave the house, and his audience and his friends kind of came to him. Typical Levon, you know, and at the end of the day, whatever scrape he was in, he always managed to claw his way out.
Rock journalist Stephen Davis co-authored This Wheel's on Fire with Levon Helm, who we lost this week at 71. Stephen Davis, thank you so much for your remembrances this morning.
Cheers, Ian, and thank you, everyone.
Listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.